Good to be with you. Representative Hawks and I were talking that this kind of feels like a church meeting where you have to come early to get the back row. But anyway, good to be here with you. One of the issues that I think we deal with in the state of Utah is not just water funding, but the fact that our population is doubling. And as we look at to see the growth and the great economic activity that we have and the people coming into the state, the challenge is how do we handle the growth in our population? And water is probably the only limiting factor as to our population growth. And we all, anybody like to be stuck on I-15? I see the speaker just walked in, and I'm always happy when I'm just ahead of the speaker, you know, appreciate what he does. But if you're stuck on I-15, very pleasant experience. You're always frustrated. You can't get to your appointment. But think of it for a second. How frustrating is it going to be when you can't get a drink of water? And when we ran out of water, it's truly going to be the limiting factor as to how we fund growth. We got a slide here. This is a slide that talks a little bit about the water needs. But done back in 2000, we can see we're 2015 right in this area. The red line represents the demand we're going to need or we're going to have for water. That demand is going to be the demand if we do not conserve. The blue line is if we conserve water. Now, if you look at the end of this, there's about 371,000 acre feet that we can develop. That represents all the water development that we can develop in Lake Powell, Bear River, and other sources. That's basically the potential we have for new water development. You can see that the difference, there's about 900,000 cubic acre feet that we need if we don't conserve. So we have to conserve 540, almost two-thirds of our demand in the future has to come from conservation. So we need to change what we do as even with everything we can do to develop water, we need to change the way we use water. One of the challenges you have is water development is more like a set of stairs. So if you have a population base that exists, but as soon as you go beyond the capacity of the water project, the you have to build a new one. So if you see down at the bottom of this graph right here, these in 2020 we'll have 11 water districts that are maxed out that don't have any more water. You can see there's about the number as we go through that. So if you don't have any more water, the challenge is you have to build a facility. And that facility costs an enormous amount of water, especially if we're talking about a dam. But the people that will use the water in that dam aren't here yet. And so it's like we have the need, the capital need to build the facility, but the people to pay for it aren't here. So it's like coming up the step of a stair. And so how do we fund that? And as we looked at it, you can fund it in a couple of different ways. One way is we can wait till we have to build that facility and jump on top of that first stair, and we can bond. Well, in Utah, that's not a very good way to deal with financial issues. The better way is to try to save some money so we don't do like we did subprime lending and borrow 120% of our home, but we actually have a down payment as we try to build these facilities. So, and we all know that the best thing to do if you're talking about retirement, the best time to start putting money away is when you're 2 or 3 years old rather than when you're 65 years old ready to retire. So the quicker we start, the better off we'll be. So that's what we tried to accomplish last session. The challenge is how do we do it? Next slide. SB 80 put together the funding mechanism of how we do that. I'm going to talk a minute or two about it. But the challenge was, and maybe you read the editorial in the Salt Lake Tribune today, is that there's a lot of questions as to about how much we conserve, how we pay for it, whether we use impact fees, whether we use water rates, property taxes, all those issues, whether the capacity in St. George's, the population, the economic base has the capacity to pay it back, how we interact between the Bear River and the Lake Powell, and all kinds of just thousands of questions. So what we did in SB 80 is I'm going to show you how we funded it. That money goes into a restricted account, and that money can't be spent until there's further legislative approval. And then Senate Bill 251 talks about how we'll do that, and Representative Hawks will talk about that. Next slide. So this is hard to read, but I'm going to help you a little bit with it, okay? The governor, if you come down to the bottom line here, the governor asked the Transportation Commission, and I'll help you with those numbers because I'm not sure you can see them, asked them to not program and leave in the transportation budget some unprogrammed money. And he said, the first year, we want you to leave $10 million, the second year, $20 million, the third year, $30 million, the fourth year, $40 million, fifth year, $50 million. So there is unplanned, unprogrammed money in the transportation budget, because what the governor saw is that we've taken a lot of money out of the general fund, and we've taken that money away from higher ed, and our education budgets are challenged, and he wanted to look at how to maybe move that money around. The other issue was how we might fund water. So if you like, if you don't like earmarks, you like SB 80, because what we did is we took two earmarks, a 0.05 and a 1/64, and we took those, eliminated those out of the transportation budget. So those earmarks went away. And you can see that the earmarks in the 1/64 is $9 million, and then the earmarks in the 0.05 grows from $9 million to $24 million, and actually I'll show you a slide of what it does in 2026. So that actually accomplished one of the aspects of trying to fund or bring money back for education. But the other opportunity was, how do we fund water? We took, many years ago, there was 1/8 percent of our sales tax usually actually dedicated for water development. That was split. We took a 1/16th and put it into water, 1/16th and put it into transportation. What SB 80 does is bring that 1/16th, this top line, back into water. And so as we looked at it and we did the math, the combination of those two far exceeded what we budgeted. So then we actually decided that there was a fixed amount of money into critical highway needs, $90,000, but we converted that into a growth factor. A little bit complicated, but a good thing to do, but it actually allowed money, as you allow that $90 million to grow, it put money back into the transportation budget, because it's just not $90 million fixed. It became a percent. So as our economy grows, that $90 million grows. So that is the bottom line right here. So why don't we go to the next slide? So the bottom line is, we took 1/16th out of the transportation fund. And in 2026, that's $48 million to fund water. We eliminated those two earmarks. So again, we eliminated those in 2026. There's $46 million coming back into our transportation fund. The $90 million we converted to 3.8. And what that did is had an effect. If you look back, and maybe you can go back a slide. Now, I don't know, Billy, you're talking there, but maybe I can get him to go back a slide. But if you look back out here, the overall effect goes from 65 in 23, then 64, then 63, then 60. So the effect actually declines, because that $90 million is growing faster than the money we took out. So it stabilizes. You can go forward. It stabilizes the transportation fund. So anyway, we were able to eliminate earmarks, bring money back for transportation, stabilize the transportation fund, and stay within our budget. And that's what the SB 80 did.
Good morning. Yeah, you can go ahead and advance to the next one. Good morning, everybody. And I carry the companion bill, which is Senate Bill 251 in the House. I want to talk to that for just a minute. Before that, just a good perspective on 80. I think a lot of people saw Senate Bill 80 as a proxy, really, for some of these specific projects that they might have doubts about or questions about, Lake Powell Pipeline, Bear River Development Act. And I think to do so is sort of to miss the boat, really, on that, because the question is, do we need infrastructure moving forward? And the more interesting question isn't are we going to have infrastructure, but what kind of infrastructure are we going to have it? And one of the critical pieces that I think people missed in 80 is that the third piece of it. So there was Lake Powell Pipeline, Bear River Development Act, and then the third piece was replacement of our federal infrastructure. And without a reliable federal partner moving forward, the replacement costs of existing infrastructure exceed the costs of the new infrastructure that we're probably going to need to provide water to all the people that are going to live here in 2050, 2060. So vital, sort of important need to think about that. And it doesn't matter what perspective you have. Senator Adams really did yeoman's work in terms of bringing both of these bills forward and really laying the groundwork to ensure that we have that funding for water infrastructure moving forward. So when I presented Senate Bill 251 on the House floor, I said whether you love Senate Bill 80 or you hate Senate Bill 80, you ought to be for 251. And the reason is if you think 80 is great, then 251 makes it better. If you think 80 is terrible, then it makes it a little bit less bad. And it does principally three things. You'll notice, and I think this first slide really talks about the most critical aspects of 251. And that's that some people talk about, well, we need to have, before we build big infrastructure projects, we need to be sure that we're doing enough in terms of conservation. There are other questions about sort of regional equity. In other words, if the Lake Powell pipeline is first in the queue, what if the Lake Powell pipeline sucks up all the resources and then there's no water, there's no money left for other projects, right? And what's the repayment going to look like? And is that fair? And are we sure that we're meeting the right triggers before we hit these projects? Well, 251 is designed really to address a lot of those concerns. You'll notice that it really sets up the Board of Water Resources, Division of Water Resources. They're supposed to create plans essentially to create independent review of the construction plans, of the conservation targets in question, of the repayment plans for the project, invite public involvement. And you can see over on this other side here, criteria for better water data and water reporting. It really sort of provides a way to have independent review of that data and that reporting, right? Just to make sure that we're acting on the best possible information. Conservation targets are worked in there as well. So this is really the operative bit of 251, provides some really kind of independent review of a lot of the critical questions that come in the infrastructure side. If we go to the next slide. And the other things that it does, and these are a little bit not as important as I think it's the substantive things on the first slide, but it does make some changes to the State Water Development Commission. You can see the state treasurer's added as a non-voting member. We can see an additional representative from the governor's Office of Management and Budget. And lastly, a new representative with expertise in finance and economics. All three of those, again, designed to put some really economic, financial expertise into these critical questions and critical decisions that are going to be made about infrastructure moving forward. And lastly, it allows for appropriation of existing funds, funds that are already in this infrastructure account for, say, a big five accounting firm to really come in again and verify the plans and look at the plans and make sure that repayment plans and everything else work consistent with the purposes of the bill. So that's what 251 does in a nutshell, I think.
And again, the money that 80 appropriated for water goes into it, what I'd call a lockbox, a restricted account, can't be spent until there's further legislative action, until we get the answer to some of these questions. And we actually appropriated about $1 million for independent evaluation. It's actually the State Water Commission that's headed up by Margaret Dayton, a legislator, and has a legislative committee. So there'll be a ton of work done on this over the next couple of years before any of this money's spent on water projects, because we need the answers, and I think we want good information for the legislature to act properly. There was one other bill that Senator Jenkins passed. It actually dealt with culinary water pricing. And again, it encourages the practice of mindful use of water. It allows for a tiered level of water pricing. Again, if we're going to reach the conservation goals that we have, that type of water pricing is very, very important. We've got a lot of opportunities ahead of us, a few challenges, and I believe, without any question, Utah, we deal with these challenges and issues very, very well. I think we'll deal with water funding well. I think I look forward to our future, and I think our future is really bright because of SB 80 and SB 251 and 28. Thank you.